Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mike and I were just talking about Atlanta influencing everything. Our city influences everything. We got to dive into this. Except sports.
Yes.
And I'm being serious.
Music, film, television.
Look at the shirt. I didn't even know Gordon had that shirt on. And I'm being serious about this. We influence everything.
Pop culture flows from the A.
Everything, right? Except sports. We're going to dive into this because we were talking about Trae Young and all that stuff with Steve Koonin. That is on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks. Guys, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we appreciate you being here on a Friday, hanging out with us. We have a lot to get to, and we will talk about Miguel Almirón and his return. Yesterday was a pretty incredible moment for him at the airport, as we talked a little bit about before the top of the hour. This hour, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy. Happy hour. Every Friday, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, so make sure you make your way there to Buffalo Wild Wings. We're also going to talk about not only Miguel Almirón, but for those who missed Michael Money Harris, who stopped by the show, talking about the Braves and where he's at. That is back. That is on the way, should I say, as well in the 6 o'clock hour. Great conversation, Mike, with him. Such a down-to-earth dude, and we always talk about this, rootable guys.
Yes.
We have a bunch of rootable guys on our Braves squad that you want to cheer on, and more importantly, hope the best, man. This is why we have one of the best teams in the major leagues.
Right on. And now just this year, staying healthy. We just talked to Steve Koonin about the Hawks' inability to stay healthy. And we'll see. I mean, it's just frustrating. Look, if they actually make any moves that aren't lateral, that would be interesting. I can understand maybe getting some salary off the books. But then let's reinvest that in the offseason. Let's not just sit on our hands, wait to be seen on that, all that. Meanwhile, we also spoke to our buddy Jarvis Davis, our old engineer who works for ESPN Plus and has done podcasting. He's down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. He was standing right there when this video that's gone super viral, Mike Green basically destroys Connerly, the tackle from the Oregon Ducks, who we just learned today from Chris, our producer, has been named the best offensive lineman on his squad.
What?
For the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. So, look, the Buckeyes also did the same thing in that Rose Bowl.
They did.
But it is interesting to see that where Mike Green's going to go. A lot of people now feel that this is that Jadeveon Clowney Outback Bowl moment against Michigan. And then you say, okay, is he going to be stuck with this hype? Is he going to live up to this hype? But it's certainly, he's going to have a lot of juice and can only now his stock go down. That's why he said, I'm done. No reason for me to play now.
I agree. No, look, you got to make smart decisions when it comes to, you know, you've shown something that everybody wondered, which was, to be honest with you, bull rushing, it was power.
Can a guy from Marshall beat a guy from a Power 5 conference or Power 4 conference team and he destroyed him?
Well, he, again, you talk about leading the country in sacks, but also the power. He's a little light. 230, 240. He came in there at 250. Does he really have any power? And then he shows you that, and you go, okay, I don't need to show you anything else. Like, you wonder, go watch the tape now and watch these sacks, how I got them. And more importantly, I've shown you up close and personal. Right. All these scouts are there. I'm with him. I would have stepped away, too, and been like, I'll see y'all when I see y'all.
I do get a kick out of some of these guys. I mean, yeah, I played edge rush back in high school. I don't know what the hype's about. He fell down when he blocked the guy. Yeah. Not like he's going to get to the quarterback. He knocked him on his butt, so what?
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a guy that's going to get a lot of juice.
It's not about that play.
No, it's
smarty pants. Exactly, it's about the next play.
Correct.
And then a big third down in the fourth quarter when I've run through you like that, and that's
right.
What you're expecting, and then I run right past you.
Right. But we all know edge rush is the scene, although I did bring up to Carl earlier in the show, would they surprise us the way they did in 16, where it was linebacker, linebacker, all we talked about was linebacker, then we went with a safety in Keanu Neal, and then Debo came in the second round back in 2016. You know what distracts me sometimes? When women have sparkles on their chest. Is that just me? It takes my line of sight from the face down to anyway, it is Dukes of Bell live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We were just talking about, you know, could you see us maybe going corner if they've earmarked an edge rusher who's already somehow gone by the time we select this year?
Yeah, look.
I mean, I'm just trying to prepare the ground
three
for Falcon fans.
Three positions of need. Which one is the top need? You would say edge. But I would tell you interior defensive line as well.
But if you feel this draft is so deep you can get your guy in the second round, I mean, you better get Ruka Roro must become the man.
Well.
And, you know, I mean, there's too many variables to not go D-line in that first pick.
Well,
I think there aren't a lot of Falcon fans.
I just think, again, if you are going to get more versatile and more size, which is what they tried to do last year. We talked about why they drafted some of those guys. But I would tell you the pecking order, and again, we'll figure this out along the way, but it is pass rush. It is interior defensive line, Mike, and it is also corner. But I'll tell you this. Are we going to go address maybe and get a linebacker or two in free agency? Because that is something that we can just check off and say, great, Caden Ellis. And I had this argument. One of our guys, his name's Zeke, he was like, I don't understand why you're so high on Caden Ellis. Did you see what he did? And go look at the numbers.
He does his job.
He was the most productive linebacker on your team. Now, you're going to say it was a bad defense. It doesn't matter.
And I don't think Jimmy Lake used him the right way the first quarter of the season.
Early on. He was a different guy in the second half.
Right.
He showed us enough that he can play and play well. Don't try to, you know, compound your problems, Mike. He's okay. Let's go get a couple other guys that can play.
And look, if you want to keep Nate Landman, that's cool too. I mean, there's only so many guys you're going to have in that depth chart at linebacker. The biggest thing we talked about earlier – I still don't know. I'd like to think that Troy Anderson can give us more of what he did against the Saints. Pick six, super athletic, sideline to sideline. But until he can give me 16 or 17 games a season, which he hasn't shown the ability to do.
I totally agree. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. We're here live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, hanging out until 7 o'clock. Also, along the way, guys, we'll talk more about the Super Bowl and all those sacks the Eagles had. Did not win them a Super Bowl the last time. But this defense may be better. We're going to get into that as well. Mike, we'll come back, and when we do, we just got to talk a little bit about this, and we'll talk about the Miggy thing. But I also think that when we discuss what happened with Trae Young, like, there's so many facets to this thing. It's not just basketball, and I don't think he's that good, or I think he's great. The problem is, when we talk about, and you bring this up a lot, you talk about, you know, the bigger markets, right?
Right.
New York, the influential markets.
Right.
Because of the bigger media markets. Now, we're not some, you know, little place.
No, we're the seventh largest market. Indianapolis, the Pacers just got two guys in those last seven spots for the All-Star alternates, and that's a much, much smaller market than Atlanta, but they're also much, much higher in the standings. They're a better version of what we are supposed to be, but still, we're a top 10 market. I think the problem we have with Trae is just simply he's disappeared since the moment of 2021.
True.
The 21 Knicks, you know, series, taking the bow at the Garden, and then subsequently beating the Sixers, being, you know, game one against Milwaukee. And that just seems like, I think to the casual fan, is ancient history outside Atlanta. Now, this year, without DeJounte Murray, he's in a much more comfortable role. He embraces the leadership. He's got guys he can trust. As we said with Steve, it's the most complete Trae package we've seen. Okay, so he's not playing great defense. The entire NBA is not playing great defense. So the only thing I can correlate it to is we're not in the spotlight enough. We're not playing enough national games, because when you're consistently, Carl, one of the 7 to 10 seed, you don't get that exposure.
No, but remember, Steve Koonin, we just asked him that question, and I do agree. The basketball people who voted him in, no.
Players had him in.
They have him in.
Over the fans and over the coaches.
I agree with you. The people who
and over
who
the media,
know,
I should say.
No. If right. you're talking about some fringe guy on his couch that just watches basketball every now and then, that's different, and he doesn't watch it only if it's a national game. But I don't think that plays as much.
Now, when you talk about signature moments, guys like John Morant, yes, there's a million posterizations and all that stuff. But when are we on the spotlight where people are even – the Hawks aren't on anyone's radar. That's the problem.
Okay.
Kind of like the Falcons aren't.
So I can give you four spots.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spotlight or highlight moments this year.
The half-court shot.
In the first half of the season. Three of them were Trey scoring 20 points and having 20 assists. And I said this, nobody else has done it in the NBA this year. He's got three of those games. Those are highlight moments.
Leading SportsCenter, I think, once this year.
Okay. And then you have the half-court shot, which won the game in Utah. Four in the first half of the season? Shouldn't that be enough?
Well, he's leading the league in assists. So why do the coaches hate his guts? Why do these coaches not respect Trey that he doesn't get the vote from the coaches?
All right, we're going to come back. I think, again, when we talk about influence, there is an influence when it comes to sports. And we just don't get enough of that. And we'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A total lack of respect for Trey Young. First in the league in assists right now, top 25 in scoring. Because we looked it up. It's true. And then we had the conversation with the Hawks CEO, Steve Kuden, earlier in the show, and everyone's got a theory. What did Trey do? Whose Cheerios did Trey piddle in the NBA hierarchy, or at least, Carl, in the process of selecting your starting all-stars that he doesn't make the team?
I don't know. I think this is hold on, let me sit down.
We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Let me sit
Carl
down.
Is going to take the moment to sit down because he's going to bring some gravitas to this conversation that only comes from the seated position.
Okay. I think there was a time, fair or unfair, that people thought Trey was a little immature.
Right. I did. Sorry, guilty.
Okay.
Yep.
They also thought that, and this plays into, it's not everybody, certain people.
Right.
Feeling some kind of way about him because of the way things have gone here. Lloyd Pierce comes in.
Right.
Nate comes in.
Right? I'm
just telling you.
I did call him a coach killer. Guilty. Okay. Twice I'm guilty.
And it, all of a sudden it became, well, obviously he's calling the shots.
Right. He's dictating the organizational moves.
Fair, unfair. And people went, I don't like that.
Right.
And then there were moments where, you know, Nate got let go. He didn't even speak. He didn't even talk to the media.
Right.
I'm telling you that all these little things have built up for some of you, not everybody, to feel a certain kind of way about Trey. Mike, that national perception that you talked about, I do agree with you, because people who don't live here in Atlanta are not dealing with that on a day-to-day basis. But what they are saying and what they are doing is, where are the stars? You're seeing Ant-Man on a nightly basis.
Right.
Right? We're not even talking about the LeBrons and the Steph Currys. Those are champions. Those are multi-time champions. We're talking about the up-and-coming stars in this league where you go, hey, I want to watch that guy. I want to see that guy. And that hasn't happened enough. So I do agree with you there. But there's so much more that goes into why people feel the way they do. And I kind of think some of it is unfair, but some of it is warranted.
Let me throw this. I'm just playing devil's advocate so you can process this any way you want if you're in your car right now stuck in traffic. Steph Curry's got more charisma than Trey. Or is he just in a larger market, surrounded by better players?
Guys, no,
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Mike, nobody wanted to go to Golden State 15 years ago.
But then we got sick of Golden State, like people are sick of the Chiefs, where they kept winning. But Steph Curry, you know, that like he's exactly a barrel of laughs, you know. But everyone loves him, and Trey has kept it real. I don't know if that has something to do with it. The other thing is, as far as young stars, I mean, as far as the real stars are generally above the rim. The people that guys embrace, the Ja Morants, the SGAs, the Ant-Mans, they're playing above the rim.
Fair.
And just like we still have guys hung up on Josh Smith here with the Hawks. So, I don't know. Trey, we have a guy who works here at Twin Peaks in the Kitchen. He's a big Hawks fan. And he said, I'm from the street, you know, off of Cleveland Avenue. And he goes, some people in the hood don't respect Trey's game. I go, well, how could you not respect? I don't even know what that means. The undersized guy that goes amongst the big trees and teardrops it in and lights out, hits the three, he's never going to be an elite defender. But I just, well, you don't like his haircut? I don't understand it.
Well, that's what I asked earlier. That's why we started the show that way. There are things that you've picked out about this individual for whatever reason that you've said, I don't dig it. It should just simply be about the game. It should be about what he brings. It should be about winning. Now, has he won enough? No, but there's a bunch of guys in this league who haven't won enough. I'm going to tell you guys right now, for all the hype we talked about Zion coming out of Duke, Zion hasn't done, you want to say it with me?
Nothing. What has James Harden won?
Nothing. There are guys in this league that you
James Harden's going to Springfield, Illinois, the Hall of Fame in Massachusetts.
He absolutely is, Mike.
Yeah, but he's done jack.
But this idea, like, well, he don't win enough. There's a bunch of guys that don't win. So either way, I do think, like, it's just not one answer. Sometimes it's way beyond just, well, it's this simple. Not in this situation. Mm. There's a lot to Trey and a lot of things that have happened in his short 7-year career that have made you go one way or the other. But regardless, that has nothing to do with whether he is a legitimate all-star this year.
Right.
That is my issue. You can tell me you don't like his hair, you don't like this, you don't like that, you don't like the way he answers questions. He's still an all-star. He's still an all-star.
And we had, because it's a different conversation, different audience, more guys are listening right now than earlier. I mentioned it on the text line. Guys like, well, Mike, you were trying to run him out. I wasn't. Guys, when I challenge a guy, I'm not running him out of town. All right. When I ask, you know, Matt Ryan, why can't you and Julio connect on a high point toss in the end zone? You know, when we ask Matt Ryan to do more, when we ask other players to do more, I mean, we ask this of all our stars. We've talked about, you know, thank you. We've talked this.
What the hell is going on over there?
It's we're doing a tasting.
It's like they got a line of women coming out of the kitchen with these. That's a tasting, all right. what is going on over here?
We're just making friends.
All right, go ahead.
But it's a man-sized sample. I digress. But, no, I just think that we've always been critical of everybody in this town. It's just when it's your guy, you don't like it. You know, I'm dealing this, for instance, I'm dealing with this with Fontenot. I got guys for them being too hard on Fontenot. Like, what has Fontenot done on his resume that's earned your benefit of the doubt? And I've got guys that are coming at me like I have an agenda. I just want to win.
Where is
Terry?
But in the case of... In this case, with Trey, we asked about leadership. We asked about when Nate gets fired. Everybody's reaching out to Nate to call him. Trey didn't even speak with him. So you brought that up earlier. That's just maturity. I think Trey has finally crossed that threshold.
I do, too.
You're seeing this. And Trey, just because he did videos with DeJounte, that's actually professionalism. He acted like he was excited about it, when meanwhile, he never wanted DeJounte here. It made no sense.
It didn't.
Two ball-dominant point guards can't coexist.
And I'll say this, too. And all these guys come into the league early. But when we got him, he was 19.
Correct.
It's 19. You want him to come in and be a superstar immediately. That doesn't happen, guys, in the NBA. It takes time. And so now if you tell me at 26, Mike, about to be 27, that Trey is a different person, he should be. I would hope he is. But let's not take that and say when he came into the league, you wanted him to act like a grown-ass man at 35. He wasn't that. He was growing into this role, and there was a lot of pressure on him to be the face. He's embraced it. He's taken it on. He got the Supermax deal. Great. But as I said, don't blame him for everything as we talk about this all-star snub because the organization also has failed him.
But here's the deal. If you go back and look at it, okay, the 2020-21 team that goes to the Eastern Conference Finals, Solomon Hill was kind of a glue guy. We always thought that John Collins, there was an opportunity to move John Collins. They didn't have the guts to do it.
They didn't do it.
They didn't pull the trigger. Whether you thought DeAndre Ayton is what he is.
And can I tell people this? Because I know people forget this stuff. And I said this at the time. The general manager at the time had a deal in place to go get Harrison Barnes in a trade. And somebody, owner, turned it down.
Somebody whose son fancies himself a personnel guy.
So you can tell me all you want. There was a deal in place. They were trying to make these moves, and it slowed the progress of the growth of the team.
We went backwards from 2021. That's not Trey's. But, again, nobody in Utah or Chicago or anywhere knows about what we're talking about.
No,
they just see us in that same old 7-10 spot. Yeah. Trey Young can't win anything. That team's not going anywhere. They should have moved John Collins, had the balls to do it, realizing John was a good player, but their ceiling was reached.
Well, Jalen Johnson's already better.
Correct.
Jalen, you see it.
Right.
Jalen Johnson's already a better player.
But they needed to make the moves to improve the team. That's when you needed to prime the pump. That's when you needed to expend the money, get into whatever luxury tax. They refused. And now we're screwing around, wasting everyone's time the last 4 years.
Turtle, what do you want to add, brother? But
is the league saying heavy lies the crown? Because they're saying, Trey, you showed us how high your potential could be 4 years ago. You haven't sniffed that since then. So we're holding you to a standard that we feel like you can reach, that you have so far underachieved at getting to. Yes, it's not entirely your fault, but until you show us you're more of that guy than the guy that this team is now, although it's not his fault with the injuries and everything else, that's where the standard was set for Trey.
But why doesn't Dame Lillard get that heat? Dame Lillard hasn't won jack.
But
he goes to a better team, and he's still doing nothing. And meanwhile, everyone loves him. He's on the All-Star team, and Trey's sitting at home.
What's Kyrie won without LeBron?
Right.
I mean, like, seriously, the list goes on and on. I get what you're saying, Turtle. I don't know if that is how this is viewed from the league standpoint. But I just think, you know, for example, Mike, you remember, okay, coming off the 21 season, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We get a Christmas Day game, which we had never had.
Right.
We go to New York, we lay an egg. They beat the hell out of us. The NBA was like, nah, we ain't putting you guys back on Christmas Day.
Right.
I mean, those things don't help us.
No.
And so when we've had these moments that have happened, those are the things that
add
up.
But who gets blamed for that?
Well, Trey, the star player gets blamed.
Right, yes.
But like the years that Golden State doesn't go to the finals, I'm not reading any headlines that Steph Curry's lost his fastball. You know, he's just putting regret that he's achieved the top. He's gotten to the top. He's got a ring. We're not there yet. We're not even close. We're not even sniffing the damn guaranteed playoff spot.
No.
So, but from outside, like we just give you the whole, you know, post-mortem on what's
happened. I told you there was a lot here.
2021.
Right. I told you. It's a lot here.
But that's the problem. Nobody outside Atlanta, certainly nobody at ESPN, because what does ESPN know? I know LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron's injury. LeBron.
Bronny.
Red Sox, Yankees.
Bronny.
Jerry Jones. Bronny. That's
Bronny.
All you get from ESPN. They don't know anything about Atlanta. Even Charles Barkley said, that's terrible,
it
Carl.
It is.
He got screwed.
No, he did.
Yeah.
No. Chuck said the right thing. I don't know what Shaq was talking about. I respect everybody.
Shaq to
come on, Shaq.
Yeah,
Shaq, you know this dude deserves to be an all-star.
Somebody pull over Shaq and arrest him for not supporting the Hawks.
I ain't doing that.
Not me.
I'm suggesting
somebody in Henry County does that. Hey, we were going
to. We love the big dude, but come on, man.
We're going to talk about the road to the Super Bowl and getting it done, but Miguel Almiron. I was going to ask Carl. Let me ask you, how's this as a tease? If Freddie Freeman came back to Atlanta.
Wouldn't be that way.
Would there be a bunch of people waiting for him at Hartsfield-Jackson?
Wouldn't be that way. Wouldn't be that way, Mike. This was crazy. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Of course, this hour brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Got to give a big shout-out to Tinker, man. I celebrated a birthday last week and didn't realize his birthday was also last week. So big shout-out. Happy birthday, Tinker!
A big bear fell on me.
He's one of our loyal listeners and always hanging out. Jay's out here, too, man. Look at this, man.
Hey, man, one of the great Atlanta Falcon fans of all time. Long-suffering.
Hadn't seen Jay in a minute.
For many years in the end zones.
But as an OU fan, I'd be hiding, too.
Yeah. Boy, they suck. Yeah. Oh, that just happened.
An OU fan. Ah, you didn't think I was going to go there, did you?
Hey, Carl.
Pretty good season for you guys, huh?
Carl, what? Sooner? Nah, later. hey, man. Real quick, before we wrap up the conversation on Trae Young, which got a lot of responses on social media, text lines blowing up, can't read all the texts.
No.
But our money, G Money, whose son just went to Morehouse, and again, he'll be working overtime to pay for that that dorm. Real quick, he brought this to our attention. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Pascal Siakam are all-stars over LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Maxey, and Trae Young. Who would you rather see in an all-star game that you want to watch for entertainment?
Entertainment, because that's what it is.
Especially when we're going with this split squad nonsense. You're okay, so those guys will be on one of those four teams?
Yep.
Give me a freaking break.
That's what it is.
I mean, this is akin to the women's game not sending Caitlin Clark to Paris. You want to grow your sport or you want to just keep it? I mean, it makes no sense. Put your best young stars on a showcase.
Correct.
And your established stars on a showcase. Period.
Yeah. Well, there always has been in the NBA with the NBA All-Star Game, the established guys and then the changing of the guard, right? The guys that are coming.
Right.
There's always been that. What it is, it allows us to fall in love with some of these guys that we don't see every night or don't watch. And you go, man, who is that again? I got to watch it. Who's this guy? Kobe? Right. Kobe Bryant? Who's this? Like, that's how this happens as you start to see the old guard, which is Kevin Durant, LeBron, Curry. Guys, 3 years from now, all those cats will be done. They're going to be off out of the league. Who are the guys that are coming? And to your point, I agree with you on that, Mike.
Real quick, our buddy Sean Hairston listening and on Twitter says, Trey's situation reminds him of Charles Barkley. It took Barkley a little time to be an all-star. Wasn't beloved like he is now.
True.
And he was playing in the major market of Philadelphia.
It's a great point. And people thought Charles was a chump and a troublemaker and a thug. I mean, seriously, because of the way he played.
Plus, he was also, you got to go back to where the media was back then.
Yep.
We all know, the media's a bunch of clowns, racist clowns back then.
And you know, absolutely. And you know what else Charles was? He was sassy with the media. He did not care.
He let it rip.
And people were like, oh, he can't say that. And he's like, I don't care what you think. So that turned some people off. Nevertheless, man, more on Trae coming up, more on the Hawks. 6 o'clock hour, Money Harris as well, and you'll hear our buddy Brian McFadden as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. Let's talk about what went down at the airport yesterday. Because we said to you guys last week, we were at the Atlanta United training grounds, and for anybody right now that's listening, going, I'm not really an Atlanta United fan. Fine. We've said this from the jump, and we've been in since day one. Give it a chance. For those of you who've been to matches, you know how exciting they are. You know the passion that is there. Whether we're winning or losing, it's a fun event to go to. All right, any match. So Miguel Amarone was a part of our championship team in 18. He leaves. He goes to Newcastle. He's overseas playing. He has a illustrious career over there. But now they bring him back. And, Mike, I was blown away by the fans. First of all, who's finding parking at the airport? Okay, let's be honest. First of all, let's talk about keeping it real.
I mean,
who's parking out there?
Did all the people who showed up basically park at, like, the Park-A-Dot lot and then took a bus?
It's crazy.
So we were saying this earlier. If you hadn't seen the video, I retweeted it. Our buddy Joe Patrick and I think Jason had it as well, Jason Longshore. But it's up there at Mike Bell ATL.
This was yesterday.
This is yesterday. So Miguel Almirón on a flight from the U.K., and someone took the time, whether it was coming from London or from Newcastle, wherever, they knew that Miggy's on the flight. And you had 150 people or more at the airport to greet Miggy. Three deep, where they come in, and they're waiting there, cheering. You see his face, and he's taking pictures, and he's shaking hands. And it was just bananas because this guy was a rock star. I thought that, you know, the business model was we're going to develop young talent. He was the first Paraguayan star to actually succeed in the English Premier League.
True,
because you guys know Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, but this thing was different. But anyway, he goes there. Some of the managers he had didn't understand him, and to his detriment, as you said, man, he should have been a bigger star than he even was. He could have been better. But they miss him. He's back here. Our fans show up. Atlanta United fans are going bananas. You said it. After 17 and 18, we had people who didn't know anything about soccer, and I'd see them because I had those season tickets, and you'd see folks that didn't have United gear. So you'd be in your seats, and these folks are like, I'm here with my kids from Alpharetta to look at this soccer. Not sure what this is all about. And all of a sudden at halftime, hats that don't fit, ill-fitting shirts, scarves, they all loaded up at halftime.
They're at the store.
Because there was juice. But I do think this will reinvigorate and get – we always talk about the casual fan.
Sure.
I think this brings that juice and that vibe back to Atlanta United that, if we're honest, we haven't seen consistently since 2019.
No, I agree.
I know there's the hardcore fans. We know there's the supporter section. But we're talking about where it crosses over to get folks who don't even usually give a flip wanting to go spend their money.
That's the key. And on any given night when this team is good, you're getting 45-plus down at Mercedes-Benz if they're not opening up the whole giddy-up. The best thing about this video and the best thing about Miguel Almiron that you know I loved about it was he stopped and signed almost every damn autograph and took pictures with almost everybody that he could. Now, I don't know about you. You flown international? It's a long flight. Okay? I know they're going to be waiting on me when I get there, but damn, yeah. I'm tired. Can I get there? He was, like, ecstatic to just have people embrace him and be like, dude, we love you and we're glad you're back. Mike, they had signs, welcome home, and all this stuff. And I tweeted it out as well this morning when I saw it. I was just blown away. And I think it speaks to the fandom of Atlanta United fans.
Right.
There's no other, like it or not, there's no other fan base that is more passionate in our city right now. Braves fans, I hear you. We got chips. We don't act this way.
Right.
Falcon fans, we know. We up and down sometimes and we're frustrated. We don't act this way. When a guy comes back to town after being gone since, what, five years?
Yes.
And gets this response, that's big, man.
One other thing about him, 6 years actually, Florida State math. The other thing is, you said Atlanta sets the tone. We were talking about whether it's hip-hop, television, well,
everything
music,
except sports.
You know, everything. Well, guess what? The one sport where Atlanta did set the tone was MLS.
True.
Because you had a bunch of NFL owners who had a soccer team like Robert Kraft, and they may have won a championship, but they were just basically kind of guilty of, like, you know, just dereliction of duty. They were like, oh, whatever. Arthur Blank comes in, maxes out as much as you can spend, because it's a pennies on the dollar compared to the NFL, but Arthur takes it there, gives you the stadium that you wanted, built for soccer, and all of a sudden, we're one of the biggest draws. We're outdrawing all the big teams in Europe where we're making – I told you, I was wearing the jersey when we were in Venice back in 2018, and people are coming up to us going, Atlanta United. It's like, it was real. But, I mean, the point I'm making is – We set the tone to where now MLS has expanded. We're kind of like the Wayne Gretzky, how Gretzky brought the NHL into the Sun Belt. Same thing with Atlanta United. The MLS isn't where it is now without what Arthur Blank's commitment and what we did.
Yes.
And Miggy was a part of that.
It was. But when I say sets the tone and everything.
But, I mean, in the world of – I know it's a finite world of soccer.
It is. And we're talking about culturally, right? We're talking about influencing every part of our lives. Atlanta has had some part of that, no matter where you live. But with the sports is what I'm saying is, and some people, to your point, but I also think, like, Mike, this is why I'm looking at Gordon. Folks who are not flown here but born here rep this thing the way they do because they understand that nobody gets it. That's why they feel the way they do. Gordon, am I lying? That's why you feel. Right. And I look, my dad's from Griffin. I got family here. I understand that. Most of us were flown here. We weren't born here. But that's why they feel the way they do about their teams and the disrespect that happens with our sports teams. We don't get the love in any other area. Fashion, hip-hop, you name it. Architecture. It doesn't matter. We don't get it when it comes to this thing.
Well, I mean, for instance, look at the Beltline. How many cities have ripped off the Beltline? How many cities have ripped off the Battery? The Braves build the Battery. Everybody from college teams are building their version of the Battery. I mean, give us some freaking credit. I wonder, because of ESPN and the power they sway and the fact that Turner, for many years until next year, has been a competitor in the NBA, that for some reason they gloss over Atlanta. I don't get it. I'm just giving you a slim argument here. But the idea that for some reason we don't get the juice. Nationally, we're part of the flyover states. Which I'll never understand.
Silly. That's silly. We got the busiest airport in the world.
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
But tell that to ESPN.
Yeah.
There, you watch SportsCenter. There's four stories, and look, I get it. They're promoting women's sports, and that's fine. But they have their agenda with that. That's great. But there's just unless Trey does hit that 60-foot shot, you know, a Trey 25 and 10 doesn't make SportsCenter. That doesn't happen. And granted, SportsCenter has been dumbed down too. and the way we get our sports entertainment. But there's a lot of factors. I just think the Braves drive me crazy. It's like they think all Braves fans are a bunch of goobers because we do the tomahawk chop. Yet, as I said to you earlier, the Chiefs do it, and no one bats an eye. You know, an entire football stadium. 20,000 more people than the Braves going bananas, and no one says a word. They show you the chop. They the crowd. I mean, come on. We do it in Atlanta. Yeah, you get Bob Nightingale, Carl. Well, I'll come on your show. I won't say Braves. The Atlanta Baseball Club? Get over yourself. The media and the South. But that's the thing. Miami's not the South. The media and the South, you'd think we just fought the friggin' Civil War. It makes no sense. That's always been my feeling. I didn't get it until I moved here. And I've been experiencing it since 1998. The Northeast media, the media elites, the East Coast, West Coast, treat the South like a backwater.
That's why I didn't get in?
Part of it.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up and tell us what you think. Yeah, we're going in today a little bit. Because we got to stand up for our guys.
Right. If we won't, who will?
We got to love our guys. And when we have stars, we haven't had a lot of them. We act like we've had multiple superstars in our city. Guys have been – Deion, he was here for a minute. Blink your eye. Like, we haven't had a whole lot of guys that have been here, stuck, and, like, he's been here a decade, and he's our guy, and we have won, and he's been damn good. When we get those guys, we got to love on them, man. It's why we love Freddie, and it's why Freddie cried when he left, and we came back. Those are special cats, and I feel like we don't do enough as a city and sometimes as sports fans to promote our dudes and be like, my guy over everybody else, and I don't give a damn what you say.
And by the way, I said this, but for guys who missed it earlier, I brought this up earlier. I was wrong about Trey. You know, I thought Trey was selfish. I thought Trey was kind of aloof.
Perception.
And then you realize it. And he's also immature. He grew up. You know, as I say it every day on the radio show. I grew up, I think at 45 I freaking grew up. You know, he's in his 20s. But the point I'm getting to is he's checking all the boxes. And he's doing the right thing. He's playing well. He trusts his teammates. They've also improved the teammates around him. But unfortunately, Carl, until we are playing consistently in the conference finals, until we're a national brand like the Warriors have become, you know, then we're never going to get the juice. And then subsequently, the good news is Trey has not made a beef about it. And you hope that someday he doesn't show up one day and say, I can't win here. I can't. My shoe deal sucks. Get me out of Atlanta.
I'm glad you brought up the Warriors. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. You're going to hear from our buddy, Bryant McFadden, as we talk about this upcoming Super Bowl and all the moves that have been made in the NFL. And Mike and I's conversation with Money Harris. Michael Money Harris, our center fielder, stopped by. Golden State was a 0 2009.
Less than nothing.
Okay. Nobody wanted to go there.
Right.
Free agents didn't want to go there. Nobody wanted to play there. I'm just telling you. And they draft Clay. They draft Steph,
right.
And they draft Draymond. And then they supplement all that around them, and they go on this 10-year run where they're in the finals, and they probably, we know this, they should have beaten the Cavs in the year where LeBron comes back and they're down 3-1. They should have another chip. The fact is, nobody – that wasn't must-see TV. It has become that. I only bring that up to say we can too.
They went 25 years to run TMC – to Steph Curry and company.
That's right. Nobody cared.
Right.
Golden State was on you like Golden State.
The only thing it had over Sacramento was better scenery.
That's it. In San Francisco. Either way, my point is that's what happens sometimes, and we can get there. Hopefully we do. We're coming back. 6 o'clock hour straight ahead, man. All these folks are here. Oh, look, Mike. Jay's wife has showed up.
Hey, guys. Jay, the Falcon fan's super hot wife, just rolled in. Make some noise.
Well, at least he's got somebody to console him when OU loses. Hey, coming up, we are going to talk to our man, Bryant McFadden, about what's going on around the NFL. Stay there.